American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Friday, July 29th, 2005. Friday, which means it's the end of the week, and this would be Newsreel. Your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. Brant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. Currently, you can still get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. But as I try to run and escape the Rand Media clutches, Sim is going to have me move my live journal over to the Rand Media website, thereby making it impossible for me to escape anything that is not directly related to Rand Media. I am a slave to a dark underworld god. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech. And what does that mean? That means that free speech should be thoughts and ideas freely expressed. That means that we don't really know how much we believe in the whole intellectual copyright idea. The whole idea of intellectual property seems kind of strange. And if everyone, if you thought about it from the beginning of time, were to go on with intellectual property, would we have ever evolved? Just a thought. But while you're thinking about this, you should know that this is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio. The Rant Radio and any other radio, but actually the Rant Radio website. Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, including getting it rebroadcast over the means of the internet radio station you may or may not listen to other than Rant Radio or any of these other fine upstanding stations. What I'm trying to get at here is if you know of an internet radio station that you think would like to carry the Newsreel program, then you should email them and get them to email siminfo@rantradio.com, and we can get more stations carrying Newsreel, and then slowly Newsreel will gather in power. I will gather in power until eventually I'll be able to take all my donation money and buy myself a Slurpee, which would be fun. Into the feedback straight off the top. Hey, Sean. I went on a camping trip this weekend. This would be last weekend. And I had a big problem with the bugs out in the wild. Yes, the wild is full of bugs. It seemed that I used the wrong shampoo and just my head was getting attacked. No, the bugs, sometimes, you can't really reason with them. It's a vicious world. It's a bug world. I used a hell of a lot of bug spray and found myself getting headaches. My extreme spicy chili got rid of them, but I still wondered why I was getting headaches in the woods with clean air. So I did a bit of looking online and found this article on DEET. It goes into the nastiness of DEET and how it affects the body. I figured that's why my head was sore. Well, I did some looking around on the website, and it looks like a good resource for people who want to go all natural. If you get a chance, you should post a link or mention to people that DEET is bad for you. That would be great. And that's from Stu. Well, Stu, yes. In fact, DEET is bad for you. But generally, I will rather smear DEET on my... Because when I was in the Army, they used to give us military sunscreen. And the military sunscreen is like 80% DEET. It's like you're rubbing DEET on your body. It's really, really bad. But it does keep the bugs away. Now, if anyone out there, I'm sure we've got worldwide listenership, and it's probably some of our Aussie listeners, know of some great natural bug juice that'll keep the small avian enemies away from us, that would be great, because I'd like to know. That is a sweet piece of kit that me, up here on the west coast of Canada, could really, really handle. Moving right along, dear Sean. The reason, this is from Anubis. And Anubis, I know, and I've met a couple of times, and he's got friends who are over in Iraq and all that kind of jazz. And this is yet more feedback about why, you know, all the Iraqis and other folks are dancing around the dead white people. So, dear Sean, I should say dead white people. They'll dance around dead black people, they'll dance around dead East Indian people who happen to work for the American Army. So I don't think it's a racial thing, I think it's probably a cultural thing. But anyway, dear Sean. The reason they dance around and parade around the Westerners' corpses is because, as you know, they consider the West full of infidels and have no morals whatsoever. Well, essentially they're correct, though. We really have no morals whatsoever. Example, sex, corruption, and unholy lifestyle. Yes, it's the future of all the butthut religions that, in fact, you will all be corrupted by sex and unholy lifestyles. You just can't compete with a salad shooter for $19.95. Furthermore, the extremists believe that they are ridding the world of Western sinners that are trying to preach Western beliefs on a religion that has been around for thousands of years. And again, they're not entirely wrong. We are trying to preach Western beliefs on a religion that has been around for thousands of years simply because we don't believe it has existed for thousands of years for it to be a reason for it to keep existing. Just because it's been around for a thousand years doesn't mean it shouldn't be destroyed. There's lots of things that have been around a long time that is generally a bad idea, like burqas, for example. I know this is a fact because one of my really good Muslim friend's uncle told him this from Iraq. Just some feedback. Thank you very much, Anubis. And Anubis is always a loyal listener. So it's very, very cool. And he donates to the show as well. So it's very, very cool that we're able to cross cultural boundaries with the show Newsreel. I mean, honestly, honest to God, you know, you look at these things like, you know, the Muslim cultures and stuff like that in the Far East and all that kind of jazz. And, you know, they're all thinking that we're just evil because we disagree with them. You know, well, we don't agree with this, so we think we should be able to have sex before marriage. Sorry, we believe that. Oh, my gosh, you're a horrible human being. You know, you're an infidel and a sinner and must be killed. No, I don't think that's really going to wash in my world. But, hey, thanks for coming out. And I'm cool with you, provided you don't blow me up. All right, that's cool. Thank you. Incidentally, over there, did you know that they actually have booths set up now and, like, a little station where people who are they're looking for martyrs. They're martyr hunting. They're going, if you would like to blow yourself up in the name of Allah, come on down to Martyrs R Us, and we'll set you up with a custom-fitted vest. You can wander around and blow up a whole shitload of innocent people for no good fucking reason. You betcha. You'll get yourself a tent right by a lake with a whole bunch of virgins who don't have a single clue about what they're doing. But wait, there's more. You also get to... You know, I can't possibly understand how they could be selling this feature to people saying, come on in, we'll give you a vest. You can blow yourself up. Like, wow. Like, I'm all into adrenaline sports and everything, but I think that's just a little bit too extreme for me. Now, maybe we should find out where this martyr thing is, and we should just set up, like, a sellout booth right next to the martyr booth. Of course, we'd probably get the martyr booth sending martyr guys over to kill us. But if we had a sellout booth, that'd be really cool. You know, you could, like, set it up. They'd have their martyr booth, and we'd be like, sell out to Western religion! Yes, we'll have, like, Sylvia Saint and everyone else, all the porn models out front there. You know, they'll do a rotation, porn tours. They come out front. They'd be all, like, talking to the Muslim guys, get them inside the tent there. You know, we'll shirk off some mudhud religions, and then we'll recruit. I don't know. We could actually just recruit people. Because generally, I think that if you were to recruit into the army from Iraq, the general soldier has a better lifestyle than the average dude in Iraq. So if you were just to recruit all the Iraqi people for your army, you'd probably come out ahead. Of course, there'd be some minor security issues, but you'd have to microchip them and do brain, you know, scans and stuff like that. But hey, we're heading that direction anyway. What the fuck, huh? It's a crazy world we live in. So, moving right along here. Dear Sean, just a quick note to say thank you. I had a job interview today for a position as a graphic artist for a local firm. Very cool. Why am I thanking you? Indeed. Well, other than your various advice that you've given to others over the years that I've adapted to for my situations, I managed to use that 3D rendering of you as one of my uber main pieces. Yeah, I sent this guy some photographs. We had another guy who was going to do a 3D model of us, and I guess he got busy, which is fine. You know, things happen. And this guy contacted me and said, hey, have you got any photos I'd like to do a 3D rendering of you? And I said, sure, no problem, that's cool. So I sent him, since I already had the photos, right, I just fired him off, and he did them all up there. It looks great. And he sent it back to me, and you should see this rendering. Like, you know, it's almost enough to make me want to code because I'd like to make, like, a little pet, you know, Sean Kennedy head that I could program all the responses into and spend the rest of my life turning myself into a digital entity. Because, realistically, I'm insane. Back to the letter. I'm going on a limb, but I think it's fair to say that it blew the opposition out of the water. Well, I've seen the rendering, and yeah, I probably would have. It certainly impressed the company. I even managed to drop your name and Rant Media when they asked me who the rendering was modeled on. Oh, that's Sean Kennedy, one of the heads of the Canadian media network called Rant Media. Ah, very cool. Wow, they said. Yeah, I said wow, too. One of the heads. Get it? Because he rendered a head, not one of the heads. That's good stuff. I'll keep you informed on how the model's coming along. It still needs hair and a scene to go into. But I'll let you know if you got me the job. Yeah, well, I hope you do, Deeper Shade. No problem. Thanks again. I tell you what, here's an idea, Deeper Shade, for the background of that. Why don't you rip off the Max Headroom background? You know that weird, shaky line thing that's going on in the background? You can throw that up. And then just put a really nice, high and tight Marine Skinner jarhead kind of haircut on that guy. You know, nice, good flat top, because that's what I'm always going for. It's just I can't always maintain it. But if I was going to have one haircut for the rest of my life that I wouldn't have to change, I would go see Ray or my new brother, Rafe, down in Langley there. Crap, man. If you ever get a chance, he's right on the one way in Langley. R-A-F-F is his name. That's Langley, BC, Canada. But there's this old Lebanese dude. He's got like 8 razors. I'm not joking. He's got like 8 razors, and he does it all by hand with open razor and comb. And the guy's nuts, and he's got rechargeable razors. These are those little kind of razors, eh? And he does your flat top. And, dude, this guy's a wizard, man. He's a total ninja because I've got, like, the curliest hockey hair ever, and he gave me the best flat top in existence. Well, at least comparable to Ray down on West 4th. So, you know, I'm very excited about this because it's hard to find a brother who can do a good flat top, and everybody out there with a flat top will back me on this one. Dear Sean, after digging around for an answer as to why Jean-Charles de Menzies. Now, this was the guy, Charles there, Chuck. Chuck was the guy who got shot in England. You know, he's running, wearing the warm clothes in the backpack, and towards the subway, and the British bobbies kind of lit him up like a Czechoslovakian Christmas tree. Yeah, that was the guy. His name was Chuck. And anyway, getting back to this feedback here. Dear Sean, after digging around for the answer why Chuck was running and why he wore warm clothes, I found some possibilities. One of the possible reasons that he was running was that his visa had expired and therefore had problems with the immigration authorities. So, you know, he's running to get away from the immigration guys, which is understandable. I was kicked out by immigration from England as well. Also, he was apparently working illegally. Well, you know, you're now a criminal, and you're an illegal immigrant in the country working illegally. All right, again, not a shooting offense. Another reason was that he, a few weeks earlier, had been attacked by a gang of criminals and was therefore scared by the plainclothes guy with the guns hunting him. Yeah, I don't know if I buy that. There's a big difference between a cop chasing you with a gun and a gang member chasing you with a gun. I mean, it's very visually obvious. Yet another reason, and also a reason for dressing warm in the summertime, was that he was Brazilian. A Brazilian might think that 17 degrees Celsius is a bit chilly. Yes, he might. But again, he'd been in the country for 3 years. That makes for some climatization. Also, with one of the highest murder and kidnapping rates in the world, running when a gang with guns tells you to stop might be a normal or reflexive action. And that was sent in by Ion. Again, I don't know what the actual deal was with the 7/7 bombing, but just going with what the British bobbies did here, you got a guy running towards a train station. All the guys on the street believe that if you've got bombs going off in your train stations and you believe your city's full of terrorists, okay, you've got a guy who's wearing a heavy coat and a backpack running towards the train station, okay? So you shoot him. That's what you do, because if he gets in the train station, you only wound the guy. He'll blow up and kill everyone because, again, we're dealing with suicidal fanatics here. Now, that's my stance on that one there. Now, granted, the guy was innocent, and I'm sorry about that, and it's a shame that the buddy got dusted, but I don't think, tactically, there's a better way to address this. I really don't. I think the bobbies did their fucking job. That's just me. Now, there's some people who disagree with me, like Falware here. Dear Sean, as an FYI, my views differ from yours. Lots of people do. The news reports are conflicting, but all agrees that the undercover police shot and killed an unarmed man. Granted, except for he had a backpack. For all you know, and I know, the guy ran could have thought those plainclothes officers were criminals. Again, as well, yes, he could have thought they were criminals. Hey, stop! Even if you yelled police, does that excuse the unlawful shooting? I think it was a totally lawful shooting. In fact, the guy got dusted running towards a train station after a bomb went off, okay? The criteria was there. The cops made the right call to blow him away. I have yet to read any article that lists the victims had a backpack. Ah! Now, there's people talking about this. Did he or did he not have a backpack? Now, this is getting a little weird. Either way, running is not at all unnatural. It happens every day. Should police in Seattle start shooting at anyone who doesn't spread their legs and put their hands on the head in the first second of an encounter? Well, yeah, okay, I can see where you're going with this. But again, if Seattle was being bombed and there was bombs going off in the stations and shit like that, and a guy is running, now the big question here is, did he or did he not have the backpack? But regardless, okay, you've got a guy who's not stopping when you tell him to stop. So I'm assuming now the guy had a backpack. If he did not have a bag and he has just a heavy winter jacket, you've also got to assume that we've got a weapon, which are suicide vests, which these guys wear. So yeah, again, even if he didn't have a backpack and he's wearing a heavy coat in the summertime, I would have shot him as well. Okay, that's just me. Now in Seattle, slightly different kettle of fish, because the circumstances are different. You have to use all this in context. We'd have thousands of dead misdemeanor suspects if cops started doing that. True. Shoplifters, jaywalkers, you name it. I think police should be held accountable. When I served in the military, not applies because comparison to a cop, but still, which incidentally I think it does compare, I knew that I'd be held accountable if I shot and killed someone unlawfully. Well, depends what country you're in. Cops were overeager or jittery and screwed up. They did not follow the rules of engagement, period. And that is from Foulware. Best regards, Foulware. Now, I totally disagree with Foulware, but that's fine. That's fine. Maybe I'm a little bit more bloody-minded than your average person, but personally, I will still say that the cop on the ground, never mind all the corruption goes right up the chain, never mind all the other stories. I got some crazy stories about that today. But the cops on the ground, when they tell a guy to stop, stop moving, when a man with a gun tells me to stop, and you're in the wide open and you're going to get dusted, you fucking stop. That's what it is. And if you don't, you get shot. Because you're running because you know you're going to get shot. So the guy knew what the fuck was going on. The thing that's weird is that they're not claiming he's a terrorist or whatever. I mean, there's a whole lot of really weird, shaky stuff going on here. It seems like they're trying to distract all the attention away from the bombing incident and put it towards this guy getting shot. One dude getting shot. I'm sorry. I am sorry this Brazilian guy got dusted. Don't get me wrong. It was unfortunate. And what, did he deserve to die? No, he did not deserve to die. But I understand the police's response to shoot the dude. I really do. I can't see why. You know, and if I had a guy on my crew and he wouldn't shoot a dude who was unarmed running towards a train station wearing a heavy coat, he'd be fired and he would be facing legal action. Because that's just the way the media world is. On to some secrecy news. And thank you from Stephen Aftergood, who's got an amazing Secrecy Now newsletter you should all subscribe to because it's really, really dope. Go to the link off of my live journal. Subscribe to this guy because he gets the good dirt first. Now, the Senate is beginning to debate interrogation standards. Some of the bluntest criticism of the Bush administration's policy on military interrogation of detainees comes from within the military itself. In a debate on the Senate floor yesterday, Senator Lindsey Graham introduced several recently declassified internal memoranda from various Navy Judge Advocate General personnel. Basically, these members are telling us that the proposed interrogation techniques dealing with the war on terror suggested by the Department of Adjustment sent over by the Department of Defense were such a deviation from the normal way of doing business that would get our own people in trouble, Senator Graham said. It was such a deviation from the normal way of doing business we would lose the moral high ground in fighting the war on terror. Now, the moral high ground is nice and all that, but it really has no place in war. Senator Graham spoke in favor of the amendment number 1557 to the Defense Authorization Act that he co-sponsored with Senator McCain and others to establish uniform standards with the interrogation of detainees held by the U.S. military. The record of the July 25th floor debate, including the declassified memoranda, is presented by Senator Graham, may be found on the link that I have presented off my live journal. As of yesterday, the amendment has not yet come to a vote. The Bush administration said it strongly opposes this and the related amendments that would regulate the detention of terror suspects. If legislation is presented that would restrict the president's authority to protect Americans effectively from terrorist attack and bring terrorists to justice, the president's senior advisors would recommend that he veto the bill. The White House said in July 21st statement on the Senate's bill. Now, we got a couple of different things going on here. First of all, there's the thought of how things should be, and then there's the thought of how things are. Now, I'm going to piss a lot of people off with this, but in war, okay, you torture people to get information. This is why it's not really nice to get captured. Now, if the United States puts up all these laws saying, no, we can't torture because we're a civilized nation, yada, 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 yada. Bear in mind, we're fighting an enemy, okay, who thinks they get a better seat in heaven by how much suffering they inflict on someone before they die. These are people who will cut you open and, like, burn you alive and all this good shit just to get a better seat in heaven. Now, the downside is when you're dealing with an enemy of that force and you capture, say, 20 people, 8 of them are the enemy, 2 of them are innocents, those 2 people are going to have a very shitty day because they're going to get tortured, you know, according to, depending on how you verify how you compare the torture in comparison to, you know, whatever, to, like, you have... See, in Abu Ghraib, they're talking about, oh, these people are being tortured. They're being tortured. Okay, there's torture and then there's torture. When you look at, like, the Japanese camps and talk about torture as it existed there, and you look at some of the tales of torture that comes from third world nations, they're slightly more savage than the shit that's going on in Abu Ghraib. Don't get me wrong. It's shitty not to be allowed to sleep, and it's shitty to get voltage run through you. But they're not tearing off people's fingers and shit. Okay? So I think that a lot of this is the left-wing people trying to focus on the horror of war saying, well, you know, this is absolutely horrible that America is doing this, yada, yada, yada. And it is terrible that the war is happening. But again, this is why war is bad. War is not bad because, you know, there's people with guns. War is bad because man's humanity to man reaches whole new levels of galactic proportions. This is why war is bad. But if you're going to go to war, you cannot go to war with one hand tied around your nuts. This is the really real world, kids. And when you go overseas and you're dealing with a lot of these psychos who run around with bombs, you will do whatever it takes to make sure that they die and you don't. And that is it. That is the end of the fucking list. You better come to grips with that, because if you don't, you're going to be sitting there trying to sign all the paperwork in the world, and it ain't going to mean shit when the bullets start to fly. Now, in Shadowrun hit news, and this was sent in to me from Healthy Fire, very, very weird story, Vardan Kushner, notorious for sending spam to each and every citizen of Russia who appeared to have email, was found dead in his Moscow apartment on Sunday. Interfax reported on Monday. He died after suffering repeated blows to the head. So somebody came in and beat the guy to death. Kushner, 35, headed to the English Learning Centers and the Center for American English, the New York English Center, and the Center for Spoken English, are all known to have aggressive internet advertising policies, in which millions of emails were sent every day. In the past, angry internet users have targeted American English Center by publishing the center's telephone numbers anywhere on the web to provoke telephone calls. The center's telephone was advertised as a contact number for cheap tech services and bargain real estate sales. So, you know, they were warring back and forth over the web. Another attack involved hundreds of people making phone calls to American English centers, sending out numerous emails back, but Vardan Kushner remained sure of his right to spam, saying it was what emails were for. Under Russian law, spamming is not considered illegal, although lawmakers are working on legal projects that can protect Russian internet users like they do in Europe and the U.S. So, now that's a little frightening to me that a guy, let's keep this in perspective here. He was sending email. The dude was sending email. Granted, it was spam. It was spam for a language center. It wasn't spam for child porn. It wasn't spam for some terrorist activity. It was just spam. Spamming for a business he works for. And people didn't like the spam, so they showed up and killed him. Now, that to me is a little bit more uncivilized, and that says a lot more about the Russian people than, I'd probably like to state. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a little bit psycho to kill someone over spam. Makes for a funny joke when you kind of, you know, disassociate yourself. But when you realize that this guy had his apartment, you know, invaded and he was beaten to death. Now, if he was beaten to death over the spam, we don't know if the two are related. He could have just been a weirdo and that's why he got beaten to death, because he's a weirdo or whatever. So maybe it was a crime of passion. Maybe his gay lover got upset with him because he wouldn't give him head, and so he beat him to death with a pipe. Who knows? Nobody knows. But if it was related to spam, I would totally decry that. That is not the kind of stuff you need to do. If somebody showed up and punched him out because it was inconvenient, again, that would be understandable, but still ill-advised. But still, you know, you don't kill somebody over email. That's like thought crime, vigilante thought crime justice. Not cool. On to some censorship news, and this one's from Thunderspun. About a dozen newspapers have objected to the use of toilet humor in Tuesday's and Wednesday's comic strip. And they pulled or either edited the strip. So this is a comic strip. Which comic strip is it? Doonesbury. You know Doonesbury, the guys have been doing political cartoons since Christ was a cowboy. Hunter S. Thompson was on there. Everybody was on there. Doonesbury is now being censored. And what is the really big deal? Did he call him a cum-guzzling queen? Did he call the head of the Harvard Business School a cunt? No, what did he do? Kansas City-based Universal Press Syndicate, which distributes the strip to around 14,000 newspapers, said it has received some complaints from editors about the reference to the presidential aide, Karl Rove's. Okay. In the strip, the caricature of President Bush refers to Rove's as a turd blossom. Okay. Turd blossom. That is the new major swear word of the era. Turd blossom. That is the kind of that's the total, you know, verbiage that a six-year-old would use. Turd blossom, and they pull it. Lee Salem, editor of the Universal Press, said that complaints from 10 to 12 newspapers weren't unexpected, given the concerns many editors have about language in the funny papers. Turd blossom. Turd blossom is not even vulgar. But as opposed to the other times when the editors have objected to Doonesbury content, the syndicate did not send out replacement strips. So they're starting to edit the stuff. Given the coverage of Karl Rove, we thought it was appropriate, especially given the history of the strip, Salem said. Yes, of course, because they've done it a million billion times. Among those with concerns was the Providence Journal. There, editors simply removed the offensive word from the strip's final panel. I didn't think taking out the word hurt it, executive editor Joel Rollo said. Well, executive editor Joel Rawson is a fuckstick who's guilty of censorship, is what he is. I would prefer to run the strip if we can edit it, that's fine. Oh, I see, so if we can't edit it, then, you know, we're not going to run your strip and fuck you. See, that's... There's no room left anymore for art. Everything's got to go through the PC filter, man. And that's why Newsreel is really going to take over the earth, because we're one of the last places where it comes out of my brain, goes to my mouth, out to the microphone, out to you. That's it. No buffer. You know, which is kind of a scary thought, and I'll probably go to jail for it. But honest to God, I'm not hurting anybody, and neither was the guy from Doonesbury. You want to know who the real Turd Blossom is? It's these guys who are going to screw up about this. That's just unbelievable. Rawson said the paper would take the same approach on Wednesday's strip. So I can bet that the guys who run Doonesbury are going to be really pissed about this one. Now, a couple of days ago, I wrote in my live journal how my mouse was giving me a hard time. You know, I got this big thumb pain going on, shot right up my arm, right in the meaty part of the thumb, you know, where the thumb joins the rest of your hand. Like, if you were to grab your thumb and pull on it, the area where it would tear off, that's where the pain was. So I asked about an Uber mouse, and I got some Uber mice coming back, but I think the best mouse I've found, I've listed as the Cyberpunk Kit, is Razer. It's called a Razer mouse, and it continues to meet the unmet needs for gaming input devices. It's a gaming mouse, which is why, you know, it make me think that maybe this mouse might be a little bit better than your standard fair mouse. With the world launch, now this is from their website, so it sounds very like pro rah 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 Uber mouse, but anyway, with the world launch of the Diamondback mouse, the exact match and the exact rest, Razer continues its legacy of providing the avid gaming market with products that enhance the gaming experience. Now, in our fifth year of operation, Razer has been successful in pushing the engineering envelope of input devices and accessory products to provide gamers with an edge to their favorite games. The Diamondback mouse features a long list of engineering breakthroughs. The first is the first high-res optical mouse with an unprecedented 1600 DPI and a single sensor. A 16-bit data path solution has been implemented compared to an 8-bit and 12-bit data paths used by conventional mice, including our ergonomically designed ambidextrous shape with 7 physical buttons optimized for gaming response, all independently programmable and supported by Razer's award-winning drivers. Razer USA will continue to invest heavily in superior, innovative research, design, and engineering, constantly seeking to fulfill the unmet needs and desires of our highly targeted market segments in the computer, gaming, and professional design industries. New products and technologies will be announced soon for the year 2005, which this was a little bit older, so they probably have a little bit more things listed. Now, I don't know what the cost on them is because I didn't get it off the site there, and I'm sure you could probably find it cheaper elsewhere. But when I get some money, man, I'm going to probably replace my trackball with one of these. And more Cyberpunk Kit. Now, this one is very, very cool. This is a wireless jammer. Very cool. Listen to this. This device is not much larger than a pack of cigarettes. And when it is activated, it will disable almost any wireless video camera, wireless LAN systems, and Bluetooth. Gone. Boom. Shut down. Great for protecting access to your PC. It produces a powerful 1 watt of power to disable equipment with a distance up to 30 meters and it is simple to operate. So 90 feet. You got to pretty much, you know, let's say we got a 50-foot. I'm going to give it a 50-foot radius here. So if you got a 50-foot radius around where you are, nobody is using any wireless LAN or none of that stuff. You're going to see this technology used more and more, I believe. The frequency range covered by the jammer is in between 900 megahertz and 2.5 gigahertz, covering all devices mentioned. It would also probably screw up cordless phones. The jammer is small enough to be concealed in a pocket, briefcase, etc., and used inconspicuously. It has built-in recharger, NiCad batteries, and comes complete with a charging adapter. The adapter is dual voltage for 120 and 220 volts. Now, the device, actually, I should also mention, is $450 for this little bad boy. But it seems that, you know, if you wanted to make sure that you were going to very seriously be able to disrupt some comms, this might be a device you would be interested in purchasing. You know, for your own personal amusement, of course. Now, in Red War news, now this is having to go along with the whole China thing. And Red China is really freaking me out. President Chen Shui-bian yesterday said the U.S. government report on China's People's Liberation Army proved that China's rise over the past years has not been peaceful and that China is not an opportunity but a threat. Now, these are very, very strong words. Chen remarks made to visiting Dutch parliamentarian Hans van Balen and the presidential office yesterday were his first public comments on the Pentagon's report, which was released on Tuesday. The U.S. Department of Defense annual report to Congress on the military power of the People's Republic of China, highlighting growing concern among U.S. officials over the rapid modernization of China's military forces and its belligerence towards Taiwan as the cross-strait military balance has continued to tilt towards China. Now, this is very frightening to me, okay, because shit is going to go very, very sideways with Taiwan very soon. China's military expansion is a serious provocation and a threat to the peace and security of the Taiwan Strait, as well as to the world. Yeah, that's the great verbiage there. Chen said to Van Balen, who is also the vice president of Liberal International, the London-based World Federation of Liberal Parties. The European Union's decision not to lift its arms embargoes against China for the time being is the right one, Chen added. Noting that the EU originally imposed the arms embargo on China 16 years ago after the Tiananmen Square massacre, remember that? Anyone who doesn't know about that, look it up. Chen said that since that time, China has not worked to improve its human rights record, but rather has continued with the military expansion and has come to pose a serious threat to world peace. In addition, Chen said, China enacted its anti-secession law this March, providing a legal basis to employ non-peaceful means to resolve cross-strait disputes. Yes, we covered that. If the EU lifts the arms embargo, it will be tantamount to an act of encouragement that supports for a non-democratic China to use force against a democratic Taiwan. The president also expressed appreciation for the Dutch parliament for passing a resolution late 2003 opposing the lifting of the EU's arms embargo on China. Now, you see, this is just, the whole human rights thing is kind of funny. Now, it'd be nice if we all had human rights, and I've heard of human rights, and I've seen lots of documentation on human rights, but I've seen no evidence that human rights actually exist. You know, we claim and we whine and we bitch that our human rights are being violated, but we have no real means to back that up. If China decides to violate anybody's human rights, we all go, stop doing that, oh, that's terrible, look at what they're doing. But it doesn't do anything. If America decides to violate our basic fundamental rights and freedoms, is there anything we can do about it? No, we whine and bitch on the internet, and people send me email, and I bark about it on the show. The only thing that's really going to stand up to rights violations is force. Violence. That is the only thing that will make a difference. It's been seen time and time again throughout history. The bullshit stops when the hammer drops. But unfortunately, to even talk like that is considered terrorist. Because obviously, well, we're going to take away everything that you have and everything that you are, and we're going to completely remove your culture, and if you fight back at all, we'll call you a terrorist. You see, because we have the bombs, and we have the forces and the troops, and of course, in the really real world, might makes right. And that is an unfortunate truth, and there's going to be a lot of left-wing suckers who are going to be on me about this. They'll be like, no, Sean, that's terrible, I can't believe you say that. And they'll write some very eloquent words, and they'll talk a whole lot. But this is why Noam Chomsky is just a prof. Okay, he's a linguistics prof at, where is he, MIT or whatever? Okay, he's a brilliant guy. I love the guy. Respect the shit out of the guy. But he's not making any differences. I mean, he's talking to people's general ideas, la, 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 la. But since we've eliminated voting as a means of control, because our voting structure in the United States has been completely corrupted. Last few elections can prove that. Look into Diebold. Look at all the rest of it. Because the voting structure is controlled and people's votes are controlled by mind control via the television and via propaganda throughout the entire United States. Voting is no longer a viable means of electing a government. They've got so many checks and balances to make sure that who they want to get in office gets in office, it's not even funny. So what's the solution? I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. Whatever the solution's going to be, it's going to have to be backed up with real force. Because if it's not, well, looks like there's going to be problems, and there's not going to be a lot that anybody can do about it. Now, also going with this, this is yet another step that kind of freaks me out a little bit. This is when you cross pharmafascism and artificial intelligence. And this was sent to me by Healthy Fire. Japan has revealed plans. Are you ready for this one? Japan, and you know those crazy Japanese over there, they're like scientists working around the clock to figure out just what the fuck is wrong with Japan. Well, I have got some news for you. Japan is going to be able to sort itself out pretty soon because Japan has revealed plans to build a supercomputer so staggeringly powerful that it will be 5 times swifter than the 500 fastest systems on the planet today combined. Okay, consider the weight of that statement. The supercomputer will boast a peak performance of 10 petaflops and should be completed in 2011. Officials for Japanese Ministry of Education, Culture, Sports, Science, and Technology announced on Monday. This means it will be able to perform a 10 times 10 to the 15th mathematical calculation, better known as floating point operations, or flops, every second. Holy crap. A desktop computer, for perspective, has a maximum performance of roughly 1 billion flops per section. Both NEC and Hitachi have announced plans to contribute to the project, which will also include University of Tokyo, Kyushu University, and the Institute of Physical and Chemical Research, all in Japan. The total cost is likely between 80 and 100 billion yen. That's $712 to $890 million. $890 million for the fastest computer ever. The record-breaking behemoth will be used... Are you ready for this one? What are they going to do with it? They're going to simulate climate change, galaxy formations, both of these are like, ooh, no money there, and the behavior of new drugs. Ah, that's where they're going to make their money. The fastest computer in the world today is BlueGene L, developed by IBM and the U.S. government, installed in the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, California, U.S. This system has demonstrated the ability to perform a peak speed of 136.8 teraflops, or 136.8 times 10 to the 12th power, as opposed to the new one, which is 10 times 10 to the 15th power. That's quite a huge difference. But the design of BlueGene L and other top systems represents a departure from older supercomputers, which often made use of off-the-shelf clips and other equipment. Japan's 10 petaflop machine could feature even more specialized design, perhaps incorporating several different breeds of processor in one single system. Well, and now they're talking about using light and lasers and gate arrays and stuff like that for quantum computers. So, you know, we're back onto the Moore's Law speed thing again. The architecture they're talking about is a hybrid, said Jack Dongara, the University of Tennessee, U.S., who compiles the top 500 list of supercomputers twice each year. To get 10 petaflops, I think you'd need that. The planned system may even include some chips that are designed to perform just one type of calculation, albeit at lightning speed, he adds. Now, these kind of supercomputers, I believe... Now, there's a lot of people talking about how computers gradually, as we progress in power and speed and all the rest of it, eventually we will build a computer that will be more powerful than the human mind. This is inevitable. It will happen, okay? So you can either be prepared for it and look forward to this, or you can fight against it. Now, the big question that everybody wants to know in the Foresight Institute and all that kind of jazz is, do we wish to create a life form that will replace us as the dominant intelligent species on the planet? Because the day we create a computer that is, in fact, self-aware, and that day is coming. Don't you kid yourself. That day is coming. When we get a self-aware box, it will be smarter than any human being alive. And when that happens, we will have created, arguably, our replacement species. Is it so far removed to think that maybe we may wind up robots may in fact take over the world? Maybe artificial intelligence is going to be the next evolutionary step, and it'll be those of us who are able to utilize online know-how, who are able to transfer our consciousness and our intelligence to machines, who will be basically the first generation of a new generation of humans and man-machine interface, kind of like how cybernetics, just as, you know, the spiritual aspect of it is from, like, say, Ghost in the Shell, another really fine anime that you should check out. If you think about it, your body is a physical structure, and your spirit, ghost, soul, what have you, is a consciousness structure. Therefore, if you could transfer your consciousness structure to a machine, does your body really matter anymore because you are now a citizen of the web? These are very, very out there sci-fi concepts, but they're pretty cool to think about. Now, in downloading news, and this is from Sabo. Now, this is a news story I'm covering, even though it's from the BBC, and it is one of those stories that's not going to be getting a lot of press, so naturally, I'm going to be getting press for it. People who illegally share music files online are also big spenders on legal music downloads, research suggests. It suggests it, or it says that? I think it says that. Digital music research from The Leading Question found that people who download spent 4.5 times more on paid for music downloads than average fans. That's because they find the music they want, then they go out and they buy it. Rather than taking legal action against downloaders, the music industry needs to entice them to use legal alternatives, the report said. Again, if you have a 450% increase in the amount of spending, what the hell do you want here? Just let them go. According to the music industry, legal downloads have tripled during 2005. That's usually due to terror tactics. However, the first half of 2005, some 10 million songs have been legally downloaded. More needs to be done to capitalize on the power of the peer-to-peer networks that many music downloaders still use, said the report's authors. The study found that regular downloaders of unlicensed music spend an average of 5 0.52 pounds a month on legal digital music. So that'd be like about $10. This compares to just the $1.27 spent by other music fans. So again, music downloading is not bad. Music downloading is not the great evil of the universe. Music downloading is actually the best marketing tool the music industry has, and I don't know why they can't realize that. I'm sure there must be somebody saying something to someone somewhere, but I guess, you know, it's a case of much wants more. Now, on to my buddies, those good old Scientologists. I got some Scientology news for you, and this was sent in by Visage. It seems that books on Scientology, a faith, a cult, pardon me, cult, the article says faith, but it's actually a cult, that has famous followers in Tom Cruise and even claims links with the Vedas, whoever the hell they are ready to hit India. Not only in English, but in Hindi, too. This is just scary to me. I feel really bad about this because there's a huge education discrepancy in India, and a lot of these people are going to get led down the garden path by a very dangerous cult. Aiming to help people build self-confidence and explore their inner self, they dwell on a wide range of subjects from marriage, children, and communications to study techniques. Thomas Goldenitz, a Danish publisher, has come forward with the Hindi versions of Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard's works. This is just sick and weird to me. We are releasing the books in 13 major cities of India, Goldis told Ions. Lucknow is the second city after Kolkata, where the books were released last week. So they're already out there. Founder Hubbard used to claim that the faith shared similarities with Hinduism. I can't see how that's possible. Each one of the books, other than the fact that Hinduism is kind of a mudhut religion and Scientology is a mudhut cult, there's some mud there, I suppose that's kind of similar. Each of the books deal with different aspects of life. The books are aimed at assisting people explore their inner self and building confidence, claims Goldenitz. Scientology is a highly practical, simple, and effective solution for raping people of their cash. Sorry, that's not what it says. Especially for problems of everyday life, like raping people of money. These books are not just for reading, they're for burning. They're meant for doing... Sorry, that's not what it says. These books are not just for reading. They're meant for doing, and they require the reader's active participation in the destruction of their own mind. This is a book on the technology of study, which offers remedies for a lapse in concentration and understanding to students. Meanwhile, the lapses in concentration and studies are because quite often we're overworking our students, and this is just a way to overclock your brain, I guess, so that you can actually physically damage yourself. While a book on communication prescribes drills... for improving self-confidence and skills. These are things like yelling at yourself in the mirror and shit like that. There is a book on children aimed at helping parents assist their offspring in developing their potential. And yet there's another one offering advice on marriage. The list is long. The power of printed word is truly terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying how powerful the printed word is. It's totally scary. People read something, they assume it to be true. And the same could be said for, like, these news shows. That's why I always like to have counterpoint in my feedback. You know what I mean? People, not everyone digs what I do, you know? I mean, there's a lot of people who think I'm way the fuck out to lunch here. Oh, Sean, you don't know anything. You know, I've been in university for years and years, and I've never gone anywhere or done anything whatsoever. And I'll tell you, I know what the truth is. Well, good for you. I'm going to disagree with you and, you know, state my point as simply and succinctly as I can, and we'll just move on from that. And that is the way that reality works. But, when you have something like Scientology, which is designed and carefully engineered to lead people down the garden path and manipulate them into turning them, and there's been many a study done showing that Scientology creates people who are totally dependent. It causes a psychotic break. It is a very, very dangerous thing, and it should be avoided at all costs. If anyone out there has family in India... and I hope that some of our listeners do, make sure you educate them to let them know that this Scientology thing is bad news, man. It's a really bad news, and it makes you sick in the head. Now, in net censorship terrorism news, now this is great. You want to know how they're going to take terrorism and start censoring the internet because of terrorists. Now, this is a stretch. How the hell are you going to make terrorism and the internet combined? Well, they've got a way. Listen to this one here. This is what they're going to try to do. In the aftermath of the 9/11 and U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, much of Al-Qaeda... Now, you got to understand, Al-Qaeda isn't like the Nazis, okay? These people are very, very loose. They're all over the place. They're not even really all that well-coordinated. But anyway, let's go ahead. Most of Al-Qaeda's infrastructure, including its training camps, were destroyed. Gone. Peter Taylor's three-part series. This is a program you can get on the BBC. The new Al-Qaeda, which is emerging, and the threat it poses to the West. Al-Qaeda's coming back. In the first part, Jihad.com explores how the internet, aha, has become the lifeblood of the new Al-Qaeda. Okay, well, the new Al-Qaeda doesn't exist. We don't have a location for it. And what you've got is you've got people communicating over a media. So that's like saying telephones are the lifeline of the new Al-Qaeda. The internet has been a key in pulling together the shattered remains of an organization that operated before the invasion of Afghanistan, according to the generals running the Iraq War, Lieutenant General John Abizaid. He says, the only safe haven that remains for Al-Qaeda is in the virtual realm, and that is the one we should be worried about. Why? Why should we be worried about that? Are they going to set off a virtual bomb? No, I don't think so. All we got to do is just make sure that if they send out hackers, we just got to be aware of more hackers. There's no terrorism online other than the fact that they're saying it's Al-Qaeda. So, like, what? Well, there's no, you got to bear in mind, there's no, like, all you got to do is say you're Al-Qaeda and you're Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is like this brush they paint everything with that they don't like. Oh, you don't agree with American policy? You're Al-Qaeda. Mike Scheer, former head of the CIA Bin Laden unit, agrees, which I'm sure he's got a lot of information there, being as Bin Laden's on the CIA payroll. The current state of the Al-Qaeda and health of Al-Qaeda is largely due to its ability to manipulate the internet. Baby, I can manipulate the internet like nobody I know, and I'm here to tell you, I'm not making a lot of money over here. So, you know, realistically, it's probably not going to have that much pull. So they're able to send communication mediums back and forth. It's very misleading, this whole article. Following a year-long investigation, and just over 2 weeks after the London bomb attacks, the BBC reporter and terrorism expert Peter Taylor peers into the murky world of internet jihadi. He discovers how bloodthirsty videos are made in Iraq and circulated by webmasters in the UK and elsewhere in an underground broadcasting network. Okay, so what we got here is we got a bunch of sickos making snuff movies, and they just use the internet to communicate these movies back and forth. That is not the internet's fault. If they're going to start claiming that the internet is evil, then you want to start charging all these gun makers for taking their guns and killing people with them, because it's exactly the same fucking principle. He finds the web has become a secret and safe means of communication, as well as an inexhaustible online library of training manuals, information about how to carry out terrorist attacks. Yes, there's a lot of information there, and it can be used for evil purposes. But that does not mean that the internet should be censored or shut down in any way, shape, or form. But this is what they're going to start to do, so be aware of this. Now, NoDelete and a couple of others sent me some other information. Now, although I believe that Chucky there, who got his ass dusted in London, I think that, you know, that was probably a good call, and I would have dropped the hammer on him myself. But, that said, there's an article here in 7-7 Bomb Truth News, sent in by No Delete, where if you get down there, you know, he's a survivor, he was in the tube, the queen went to see him, his face is all fucked up and everything. But if you read the article, about halfway down, there's this line. It was just the most awful scene of death, and there were body parts everywhere. This is in the tube in the train. There was something next to me. I tried not to look. I couldn't figure out what it was. When the paramedics arrived, they confirmed that there was a woman on top of him was dead and carefully moved her body. Mr. Late said the middle-aged woman had blonde curly hair, was dressed in black, and could have been a businesswoman. He and Crystal, his wife, who's a skating or dancing partner or whatever, were helped out of the carriage. As they made their way out, a policeman pointed to where the bomb had been. Now, this is very important. Listen to this. This is a quote. Quote, the policeman said, "Mind that hole. That's where the bomb was. The metal was pushed upwards as if the bomb was underneath the train." Okay? They seem to think the bomb was left in a bag, but I don't remember anybody being where the bomb was, or any bag, he said. They were led through a tunnel to the platform at Aldgate and was just a few hundred yards away, taken to the station to wait for an ambulance. Mr. Lake was taken to the Royal London Hospital, Whitechapel, where he was visited by the Queen on Friday. Isn't that nice for the Queen to visit? Now, explosions are very lazy. Explosions are very, very, very lazy. Now, if you threw the bag on the tracks and then the force of the train hitting it detonated, then it wasn't really... Was that a suicide attack or what was that? Very odd. I thought this was in a backpack. You see, this is the kind of discrepancy you want to look at and go, doesn't really make sense. Bears further investigation. On to your daily hacks. Today, I got two of them for you. First is a cell phone tower search that was sent in by PigMonkey. Very, very cool. Towers are registered with the FCC. We've taken the information, compiled it into a searchable database, and displayed it with Google Maps to give you a graphical interface to see towers in your area. Unfortunately, many towers are independently owned and leased to carriers. Therefore, if the towers are private, it's not possible to know which carrier or carriers are being leased at the moment. And also, thanks to Pam Media, I got a thing for you for a light bulb wireless access point. Back in March of 2003, this is from the article here, some friends and I were hanging at a really good coffee shop at Sebastopol. And this particular coffee joint is housed in an old wooden train station building with very high ceiling. Old-style hanging industrial lamps and even a couple of old trains serving a small shop still on the tracks. Very cool. Sounds neat. Unfortunately, There's no wireless available at this shop. There was, once upon a time, back when O'Reilly was located across the street from it, but that was ages ago, and even then the signal wasn't all that it could have been. As we sat around drinking our high-octane beverages, we got talking about the best way to provide such coverage to huge spaces. The room where we were in was the common room, open at all hours and front entrance huge or doesn't have a door. Well, you could pull it an access point in front of and close the shops in the building. Coverage in a wide open area would likely be spotty at best. You'd want the AP to look at high up off the ground where everyone could see it. So what he did here was, is he built a wireless access point that uses a light bulb and it runs it through Powerline Ethernet. Very, very neat. And if you wanted to run this in your own house, it gives very, very careful step-by-step instructions on how to do that, and it's sexy all over. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I will be back on Monday with Sumerian to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Forley, WebLife, Alan, Druid, Y, Simaru, Drake, Jesse, Robert, Grey Ghost, Art, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noog, Kevin, Joseph, Jesse, Derek, Desert Runner, Eric, Michael, Dennis, C4, Steve, Jesse, Brandon, Matthew, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Jason, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Palmer, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Host Mojo, Peter, Charles, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Mainframe, Burger No Fries, Innominate, Matt, Jennifer, Matthew, Charles, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, Brandon, and Michael. New subscribers for June 2005 were Alex, Jerry, Cameron, and Brenley. Thank you so much for your donations, guys. You have no idea how much that helps me out. I still have not managed to make myself a minimum wage job out of this deal, but I'm looking forward to the day when I will not have to go and fight with people in order to make my ends meet. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Every little bit helps, believe you me. And thanks again to everyone in their assistance gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up the album by Cubanate, known as Siberia. Very cool album. I'm going to leave you now with a track from No Delete, which has been sent in some good nerdcore stuff called Hackers Crackers. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
This is dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. You know what I'm saying? If you hear this, I want you to bump this and do your dirt, dog. Do your dirt. Could fill a stadium with cats using shit cracked by radium. Liquid sky will never die. Before the crackers and the hackers, life was whacker. Software we could never stack for. We were floored by these evil whores. All the best shit we could never afford. The internet and MP3, they set us free. I'm downloading Windows ME right now off FTP. You bitches will never find me because I'm everywhere, see? Yo, dog, you got something new? Hit me off on ICQ. I'll help you back and jive. I got some top-notch shit on iDrive. You shut one site down, we multiply. Like a phoenix from a different place, we rise. Then you got the squares. Yo, dude, you're stealing, don't you care? LOL, bitch, I got a terabyte of wares. I like my files sit, zip, or rare. I'll download 700 segments from 1,000 sites. I'll drink coffee, snort speed, I'll stay up all night. I'll hack the company site in blank and white. Ghost ISPs, find me, please. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. The ones that set us free. Thanks, G, for setting us free. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled, ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcasts. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, zip, sits. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Your encryption is primitive Egyptian. I'll do more with a 486 and a Plex tour. We've won when 6 billion got athlons, and we tell each other how to get it on. Cyber armies in the Pentagon were storming. I just found out who killed JFK. The smoking gun will have it within a day. All the lies even faster. Go check the name Truth on Napster. Digital disaster. The pricks will never find me in this matrix. A million keyboard voices all named Morpheus. This is dedicated to those who set me free. Got a buzz, you're always my cuz. Radium, if I could only say to them thanks. Callisto, you know, Utopia, and all my digital dogs. My net dons, my cyber gangsters, my wire warriors, my computer comrades. This is for you. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. I wouldn't be able to do shit without y'all, man. I've been sitting in front of my fucking computer doing a goddamn thing, playing games. Y'all made it possible. This is dedicated to you. This is dedicated to y'all. Dedicated to y'all.